T-minus 40. RMXT Studio Number 1, Manhattan, New York. Keen to arrive early to avoid detection, Clark McCarthy and William Godfrey made their way to New York City's famous RMXT studio in an inconspicuous vehicle and entered via a side entrance. Both the driver and doorman were briefed on the importance of keeping quiet, with the ever-effective combination of carrot and stick applied to full effect. Godfrey was glad to be met at an otherwise vacant doorway by the only other staff member present who had known to expect him, a senior network executive who didn't need to be told how valuable and important the element of surprise was going to be. "Mr. Kendrick and Mr. Fiore are in the main makeup room at the moment, Mr. Godfrey," the man said. "Would you like me to escort you to somewhere you won't be disturbed?" "Chairman Godfrey," Godfrey corrected. "And yes, but what the hell are those two doing here already?" "They were certainly earlier than expected, straight off the plane, as I understand. But Mr. McCarthy would—" "Just Clark," Clark corrected. Apparently caught in the middle of some name-based game between his studio's two esteemed guests, the executive gulped and blinked several times in an effort to regain his focus. "Of course. Well, Clark, would you like us to send a makeup artist to your dressing room later in the day, or are you really trying to keep sightings to an absolute minimum?" "Minimum, but thanks," Clark said. "There's also something to be said for leaving those cuts and scrapes uncovered," Godfrey chimed in, referencing the marks on the side of Clark's face that had connected with the Argentinian concrete when he bundled Godfrey to the ground rather than leave him in the path of a maniac's bullet. "After all, sometimes this pampered world of ours can benefit from a reminder as to the cost of valor." Wisely, the executive avoided any further attempts to engage either Godfrey or Clark in conversation, instead leading them through the building's labyrinthian corridors via the shortest possible route. When they arrived, Godfrey could barely contain his disdain at the size of the closet-like room they had been assigned. He didn't even have to voice this thought for the executive to pick up on it. "This room is near the side entrance, and it's near the Focus 2020 set," the man said, attempting the unenviable task of justifying to Godfrey's discerning standards a room that even Clark had to admit left a lot to be desired. "Chairman Godfrey, if you don't want to be seen, this really is the best place for you."
"In the sense that not even the bloody cockroaches would come in here if they could help it?" Godfrey scoffed.
Clark didn't even try not to laugh at this, but he also took the executive's point on board. "He's right," he said to Godfrey. "If we wanted comfort, we would have stayed at the hotel. We wanted discretion, and here it is." Godfrey groaned in concession and took a seat in one of five folding chairs that haphazardly surrounded a too-low table. He groaned all over again as his back protested against the decided lack of lumbar support, drawing another grin from Clark. "Could you do me a favor?" Clark asked the man.
"Of course, Mr. Clark. What do you need?"
Outside of military contexts, where they served a real and functional purpose, Clark would never for the life of him understand why people gave so much thought to titles and methods of address. Godfrey, while more childishly insistent than most in this regard, was far from alone among his kind, and Clark was grateful that Henry had brought him up to care more about deeds than words, and more about the impression he left on people when they parted than the titles he demanded they use when they met. This executive meant well, but his deference was just too much.
"Could you bring Billy and Timo here as soon as they're out of makeup, without telling them where you're taking them or why? I really want to see them before the show."
"What the hell happened to discretion?" Godfrey interjected.
Clark glanced around in all directions, then settled back on Godfrey.
"There's no one else here," he began, staring intently at the future ICA chairman. "But I know that tone couldn't have been for me."
With the network executive's gaze frozen awkwardly on the ground, Clark and Godfrey engaged in a staring contest that ran far longer than either was accustomed to.
"You've got some balls on you, I'll give you that," Clark said after a full 30 seconds of the fiercest eye contact he could muster.
"Neither of us got where we are by making a habit out of backing down, Mr. McCarthy."
"Clark," he corrected with an involuntary but unstoppable grin.
Godfrey's firm expression broke at this, too, quickly giving way to a full-on laugh.
"Okay," he announced to the mentally exhausted executive.
If Mr. McCarthy wants Timo and Billy, then Timo and Billy Mr. McCarthy gets.
Okay, the man said, trying not to let his impatient relief show. I'll bring them just as soon as they're out of makeup.
As soon as the door was closed again, Godfrey sat back down. Why do you want to see them before the show anyway? He asked. Personally, I wonder why you would want to see either of those clowns at all, but you know there's going to be plenty of time after filming.
You know I spoke to Emma before we left the Gravison, Clark replied, and she advised it. Because whether you know it or not, these guys are on our side on the things that count, defending Leisha, seeking cooperation, hating Jan Geller. We know things they don't, and they have images from Turkey that we haven't seen. It's just like when we told you about Dordaloo Tepe before your last speech at Unica. That was under wraps, but Emma knew it wouldn't stay that way forever, so she wanted you to speak with it in mind. Remember? Speak with it in mind without letting it out of your mind.
Touché, Godfrey conceded. I presume you're speaking of the shelter. I actually agree with you. Come to think of it, letting them know ahead of time could swing Timo in particular away from some of his frustrations. And between you and me, now that we're free of the UN's shackles, there is a door for him to participate in research and development, because the big advantage of working with Fiori Frontieri over any of the other private upstarts is that he truly doesn't care about making any money. Besides, those two certainly owe me one for giving old Billy Boy that Turkish get-out-of-jail-free card when he needed it, so I'm sure we can count on their discretion.